Australian cellist Richard Nerowe won the gold medal at the Stolberg International String Competition in 2010. He's returned to Kalamazoo to play Bach and music of Australian composers at First Congregational Church tomorrow night in a concert presented jointly by the Stolberg and the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Richard Nerowe and Executive Director of the Stolberg, Margaret Hamilton, are my guests tonight on WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara LaRance. Richard, you were 18 when you won the gold at the Stolberg. I know you've had a lot of experiences since then, a lot of performing in stages and possibly competitions that we might hear about. But do you have any strong memories of performing that time in 2010 at the Stolberg competition?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was a freshman at Northwestern University at the time, and it was my first major competition here in the U.S. only a few months after I had arrived. And so, you know, all my memories are very positive and full of joy. I remember very distinctly my teacher telling me not to expect too much when I go and compete in the competition. I'm going to be against many very talented, experienced musicians, violinists, violists. So he told me, you know, don't go and expect to win or anything. It's a big competition. Just do your best. But as a freshman, you know, I was very determined, and I thought, you know, I have a shot, and I'm gonna go for it. And I'm glad that it turned out very, very nicely, and that set me off for a good start in the U.S.
What was the concerto that you prepared?
I played the Shostakovich Concerto No. 1.
Ah, I see. Is that a piece you were passionate about at the time?
Yeah, I could say so. I was working on it for several months beforehand, also in Australia before I left. And, you know, when you're a young aspiring cellist, that piece is something that a lot of young cellists tend to enjoy playing, because a lot of it resembles kind of rock music, you know, with the heavy chords and the mechanical rhythms and everything like that. So it's a real joy and very exciting to perform that in public.
You grew up in Sydney, Australia. Tell me about your early training.
Well, I started formal cello lessons when I was about 5 or 6 with a very renowned and wonderful Suzuki teacher. His name is Tako Mitsushima in Sydney. And back then, I wasn't very serious about the cello or anything. I just took my weekly lessons. I practiced, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes a day, or if that, maybe every couple days. And I just showed up and tried to do what he told me to do. All the lessons were taught in Japanese. My mom's Japanese, and she would come to the lessons with me. I didn't understand a word of what he was saying, but he would demonstrate, so I could gauge from what he was demonstrating what he wanted me to do. And I was with him for about seven years. And the Suzuki method works in a way that there are 10 books, and at the end of each book, they get more difficult as they go on. And at the end of each book, you do a recording that kind of, in a way, proves that you have graduated from that book and you're ready to move on to the next one. And so after about 7 years, I'd gotten through all the books. And then I moved on to my next teacher, Susan Blake, who isn't specialized in Suzuki or anything, but she was the logical next step in my musical training. And she was very open to different styles of playing, and she really inspired me to start thinking about the music as well as the technical aspects and the stylistic versatility that not many cellists and musicians right now tend to strive toward for some reason, but that's another thing. That's a story for another time. Yeah. But she was really inspiring, and she set me off on the right foot. I was with her from 2003, I believe, until I left Sydney to go and study with Hans Jensen at Northwestern University.
he would have been a major draw, but leaving Australia and coming to the United States, that is a big step.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't actually planning on coming to the States initially. You know, I was set to go to the Royal College of Music in London. I was totally planning on going there. I did my auditions there and I loved it. But then a few months after the audition and the whole application process, there was a string academy in Sydney, a two-week mini festival, and Hans Jensen, for some reason, was on the cello faculty there. I think he was replacing someone, and maybe he was a friend of the guy that was supposed to be the professor, so he came. And, you know, if you've been around Hans, it's so easy to get drawn into his contagious personality. He's so funny and vibrant and warm-hearted. And so he invited me to come and study with him at Northwestern, and I couldn't say no, you know. I thought that would be a really great, exciting opportunity.
So you ended up in the American Midwest for a number of years. Yeah. And that is from there, that's when you traveled to Kalamazoo to compete in the 2010 Stolberg competition. You came away with the gold.
Mm-hmm.
What did Hans say?
I remember calling him after the prizes had been handed out. And I said, so I did pretty well. And he's like, what happened? What happened? And I said, I won. And he said, no, you did, really? No, really, tell me what happened. And I said, yeah, I won. And he's like, oh my God, you know, he was very happy about it. He was beyond belief. And I think everyone was proud in the Northwestern family and abroad too. I think my parents were tuning in. They were trying to find updates online, you know, who won, how did it go and everything. So yeah, everyone was really happy.
Margaret, maybe now's a good time to talk about the upcoming competition, as well as this collaboration with the Bach Festival. Margaret Hamilton is executive director of the Stolberg competition.
Well, thank you, Kara. Yes, May is a pretty exciting month for us here at the Stolberg. You know, we're thrilled to have Richard with us this weekend. It's wonderful to be able to collaborate with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival to bring him here. He not only won the gold in 2010, he also won the Bach Prize, which the Bach Festival co-sponsors with us. So that just made it the perfect team to put together for tomorrow's concert at First Congregational Church, from tomorrow's recital, a solo recital with just Richard. And then, of course, 2 weeks from this weekend, that's when we will host the 40th annual Stolberg International String Competition. The Stolberg turns 40 this year, and we continue to celebrate by collecting applications from around the world, choosing 12 semifinalists who will come here to Kalamazoo. There will be daytime semifinals in the day that are free and open to the public, held over at Dalton Center on Saturday, May 16th. At the end of those semifinals, our three judges will choose finalists who will perform that night at a ticketed event, and we will have new Stolberg medalists at the end of that evening. And I should mention our judges, as we talk about collaborations, we collaborate with so many organizations here in the community, and we're grateful to every one of them. Our violin judge this year is Sarah Chang, and she will be coming right fresh from her Friday night Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra performance. So she'll perform with KSO Friday night, and then she'll judge for the Stolberg on Saturday, and then be a masterclass clinician on Sunday. Sarah will be joined on the judging panel by violist Heidi Castleman. Heidi Castleman is a favorite of violists everywhere and has judged for us before, so we're so glad that she's coming back. And our cello judge this year will be Eric Kim. Eric is a former Stolberg medalist as well many years ago. He's now a cello professor at Indiana University, and he's coming back to be on that judging panel. So it's a big month, but lots of exciting events, and I hope that many listeners will come and experience these events live, starting tomorrow night at First Congregational Church with Richard's recital.
A solo cello recital featuring music of Bach, as well as a select number of Australian composers that we'll learn about this hour on WMUK. Full details are at stolberg.org, and details on tomorrow's concert also available at Kalamazoo Bach Festival. www.bayswaterfront.org. The concert is free and open to the public, and it begins at 7:30. Before we talk about Bach, let's listen to some Bach. You brought along a recording that is actually a collaboration with dancers, but maybe you can introduce the piece that we will hear.
Okay. This is a recording of the Bourrées from the third Bach cello suite, and I recorded this in collaboration with Dance for Parkinson's in Juilliard.
My guest is cellist Richard Narroway, a native of Australia who's currently studying at the Juilliard School in New York and is here in Kalamazoo to present music of Bach, like we just heard, in First Congregational Church in downtown Kalamazoo tomorrow, in a program that is jointly presented by the Stolberg Competition and the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. It starts at 7:30 and is free and open to the public. On the program are three of the cello suites of Bach, numbers 1, 4, and 6, and interludes by Australian composers. And that is a direct link to where Richard is from. So, Richard, we kind of ended up with you winning the Stolberg competition and probably finishing studies at Northwestern with Hans Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
You had to choose where to go for graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
Was there really any difficulty?
I applied to both the Juilliard School and the Colburn School, and I had recently found out that David Finkel was going to be a new faculty member at Juilliard. I think he joined the faculty in 2012. And, you know, he's not very well known as a teacher, but I thought, considering that he has so much experience performing, his, you know, his co-artistic director of Lincoln Center Chamber Society, he's constantly touring. I just thought, who better than to study with him, or to at least apply to study with him? So I put down him as my first preference at Juilliard, and thankfully he accepted me into his studio, and that's where I've been for the last 2 years.
If David Finkel rings a bell, but you're not quite sure who he is, you will have seen him if you've gone to Fontana concerts featuring the Emerson String Quartet. He was cellist with that group for over 30, maybe 40 years. It's one of the premier string quartets of our time.
Yeah.
And so you would have known who he was, of course, and thought, My goodness, someone who's performed thousands and thousands of concerts under every possible condition and knows the classical world and the repertoire inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
Is chamber music something you're interested in?
Absolutely. Over the past year, I've been part of a quartet at school, and we really enjoy working together. One of the quartet members is also a Stolberg alum. He won the competition 2 years ago as a violist, Matt Lippmann, and the two other students, Serena and Jay Lee. They're all really wonderful players, and we've had a joy working together this past year. I don't know what's going to happen next year, because two of us are no longer going to be around at Juilliard, so I don't know what's going to happen. I might be coming to Michigan to do a DMA at the University of Michigan with Richard Aaron, and our second violinist might be going to NEC. So if, you know, we'll see what happens if we want to stick together, make the commute and rehearse on a weekly basis. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
David Finkel, you said, was mostly a performer, not a teacher.
Yeah.
So he has his own way of doing things, preparing his music, and teachers are really good teachers are able to translate how that works and how it works for them. Are you finding that he just doesn't do that or expects you to just pick up what he's doing without explaining?
It's a loaded question, but I think when I first started studying with him, the first year, we were both trying to figure out or find the groove of our teacher-student relationship and see what works and what doesn't work. As I said, he didn't have much teaching experience beforehand, and he's had to figure out for himself what works and how to prepare for a concert, what kind of fingerings and bowings to use, and so I guess the first year he was trying more or less to communicate his strategy and practice strategy to me, and especially in terms of how to learn a piece from scratch and get it ready for performance. I think he's been most helpful in that whole process of learning a piece. And in addition, he's been most helpful with the actual experience of performing on a stage and what it takes or what it requires to project your sound and your musical ideas and intentions to the audience as best as possible. Since he's had so much experience, he knows exactly how to make practical use of the cello and most effectively communicate your ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tomorrow you're performing in a church space.
Yeah.
That's a very forgiving, reverberant...
thankfully.
...place where it probably does most favors to the longer legato kind of passages and the quicker... more marked parts would get a little blurry in a space like that. Is that something you compensate for?
Well, for Bach's music in particular, I especially love performing in these resonant spaces. I don't know if that's the kind of space that Bach had in mind when he. I mean, I know that he worked in a church and everything, so I'm sure it was similar in St. Thomas's and Leipzig and everything. But with Bach's music in particular, I think these spaces work because it allows time for the phrases to breathe and for the little micro gestures and little phrasings to have time to ring in the audience. And in Bach's music, legato is not so much an issue, especially if you're trying to go for an earlier kind of approach in terms of style. And so I think with legato, sure, it will help. But I think even with short notes and articulations, I think playing in a resonant space is nice because it doesn't just get eaten up by the dryness of the room, and the audience can actually enjoy what you're doing with the music.
Bach is mostly writing a single line in these suites, and yet he's suggesting harmony all the time. You do feel that sense of home and home key through, and the resonances will also reinforce something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Narroway performs at 7:30 tomorrow in a free program presented by the Stolberg and the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. Music starts at 7:30 at First Congregational Church of Kalamazoo, and you're going to begin with the suite number 1 in G major by Johann Sebastian Bach. All 6 movements.
Yeah.
All repeats.
That's the plan as of now, but that's often that often changes in the moment because, you know, when you're performing and you're so aware of what the audience is, how the audience is responding, and if they're fidgety and things like that, if they're getting bored or if they're waiting for the next one. So sometimes if I sense that an audience is getting a little restless from all the repeats, and I might skip one and just move on to the next one, yeah.
You do sense those things.
Yeah, of course. More than anything, when you're performing, I'm very sensitive to the response of the audience and just the general vibe. Yeah.
In between suite number one and the suite number four, we'll hear a piece called Into the Dreaming. Would you talk about that?
Okay. Well, Scalthorpe, he's the composer of Into the Dreaming, and he, in Australia, he's probably the most renowned, reputable composer. I've told people that he's comparable to Bach in Western music. Scalthorpe is a huge figure in Australian music, and he really established the Australian musical language. He tries to evoke the landscapes and the indigenous chants and just the general expansive atmosphere of the Australian outback. And this particular piece, I thought that it was a fitting kind of echo of the first suite because, first of all, it centers around this key of G major, and also because it's like the first suite, it acts as kind of a prelude to what the cello can do as a tonal instrument, especially when you take into account the other Australian pieces that I'm doing. This particular Australian work fits as a prelude to all of them, and when you listen to it, you can just hear the rising of the sun in the outback and the sunset on Uluru. I don't know if you're aware of Uluru, the Australian iconic rock in the outback. You can just hear these images. These images just flood your brain, and I think it's a really perfect entree into the sound world of Australia.
When we come back, I'll ask Richard Narraway more about his love of his home country and his upcoming tour of Australia with these pieces, the Bach, which you'll perform tomorrow night at 7:30 in First Congregational Church in downtown Kalamazoo. And what I have here is an example of Peter Scalthorpe's writing for strings, string quartet, and a special instrument that is native to Australia. This is from his quartet number 16, and it has very much to do with his love of the environment. I think we might hear some dolphins in this piece. But an example of Peter Scalthorpe's music, one of Australia's most renowned composers. That's music by Peter Scalthorpe, one of Australia's best-known composers. And we heard music from the string quartet number 16, which also includes a fifth part for Didgeridoo, played by Stephen Kent there, and the Del Sol Quartet. Now, if you tuned in during the music, my guest is Australia native Richard Narraway, who's a cellist and winner of the 2010 Stolberg International String Competition. 5 years ago, he's returned to Kalamazoo to present music of Bach and Australian composers tomorrow in a free concert starting at 7:30 at First Congregational Church of Kalamazoo. Richard, you have a website, richardnarraway.com, and there's a blog there too. There's a terrific entry that kind of catches everybody up on almost a year of your activities.
Yeah.
And how excited you are about what's coming up for you here. And just when are you heading back to Australia? Next week?
I leave America on the 18th of May. And this project that I'm going to be doing starts on the 23rd, and it's basically a month-long tour of Australia around Darwin, Alice Springs, Adelaide, Melbourne, and Sydney. And basically I'm going to be performing the Bach cello suites and six Australian compositions, basically in an effort to spread the music through concerts in churches and museums and whatnot, as well as educational workshops with young students and community engagement events with various sectors of community, especially those who are suffering from diseases like dementia, Parkinson's disease, even refugees who are looking for comfort, and basically anyone who is not always exposed to this music or doesn't always have access to this music, and who could definitely find that this music brings them positivity and hope.
When you perform these pieces, I kind of got the idea that you might have planned a marathon of all six suites in one go. Is that your plan?
Well, I mean, for cellists, performing all six suites is, without doubt, a monumental goal, an achievement, and I think it's something that we should all strive toward. And I, before graduating from Northwestern, for my last recital there, I did the complete suites, and that was kind of the foundational steps of this whole project. And I decided I want to do that again, but I want to do it over the course of a month, and I want to present it multiple times in a concert in each major city, and I want to get as close as I can to this music and see what happens.
You're right. For cellists, learning the Bach suites is like a pianist learning all the Chopin etudes or the entire Beethoven sonata catalog. It's really important to your identity as a cellist. I would think taking that on, if you're a little too aware of the immensity of it, would hold you back. Were you introduced to Bach early enough so that it was just more joyful?
Yeah, well, like others, I've definitely found learning the Bach suites very difficult at times, especially the fourth and sixth suites that you'll hear on the program tomorrow. Those have always been a little more uncomfortable than the others for some reason. It's probably something to do with the fact that the sixth suite is written for a five-string instrument, not a four-string cello. But we have to make it sound as if it was written for a four-string cello, because that's all we have to play with, unless we specialize with these five-string instruments, which are available, but I don't have ready access to it at the moment. But that being said, from a young age, I was exposed to Bach's music, and I also played the piano. So I learned a lot of the Well-Tempered Clavier, which is a bunch of preludes and fugues in all keys, major and minor. And so ever since then, I think I've felt a strong connection with the music, and I identify with it more than any other composer, I think. And especially over the last few years, I've tried really hard to find my own interpretation and my own style and my own way of identifying with the music.
Were there any points along the road where you did completely rethink your approach to playing Bach?
Yeah, well, over the years I've become more and more inspired by the earlier kind of style and approach of the Bach suites. I've become very interested in historical performance and historical instruments. I listen to a lot of violinists and cellists who tune their instruments down, who might use Baroque instruments. And this has really opened my entire sound world of Bach, and it's opened me to a whole wide variety of new possibilities that I didn't even imagine beforehand. I couldn't even have fathomed until I started listening to these people. And I think it's just it's very satisfying to go after this sound world and all the colors that are possible.
You know what's so interesting about Bach is you can find in his music the highest expression of kind of humans' best achievements, incredible emotion, the rigorous mathematical genius that is in these pieces. Mm-hmm. And yet these cello suites are like dance pieces based on like peasant dance tune type things. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of both. And yeah. Doesn't that kind of blow your mind?
It is interesting. And, you know, there's no doubt that even though it's some of the simplest music that's ever been written, it's also some of the purest music. And I think Bach as a composer, as well as all the composers around his time, were actually, they were going for something along the lines of reaching out to the emotions and affections. They had this whole doctrine of affections thing. And they believed that they should compose pieces with the intention of arousing a very certain feeling in the listener. So that might be happiness, or it might be joy or love, but I think their goal was to arouse a very specific feeling throughout the course of a piece and keep that feeling unified throughout the whole thing.
So what did they ascribe, what character did they ascribe to the key of E-flat?
E-flat, you're going to have to look that one up, but I assume it was something to do with nobility and because when you think about it, if you think about all the major pieces in E-flat after the Baroque period, like Beethoven, even Mozart, even C.P. Bach, all the E-flat pieces tend to have this weighty feeling and this heroic nobility to it. What is a major piece in E-flat that we could use as an example? I'm just drawing blanks at the moment.
E-flat, 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 E-flat.
Beethoven's Eroica?
Yeah.
There we go, Margaret Hamilton.
I mean, it's called the Eroica for a reason.
The fifth piano concerto, The Emperor.
Yeah, exactly.
By Beethoven.
Exactly.
Well, I found a period instrument recording here in the WMUK Record Library. Jaap ter Linden.
Yeah.
Playing on a Baroque cello here. So let's take a break with Richard Narroway and remind folks that Richard is performing tomorrow at 7:30 at First Congregational Church in Kalamazoo. It is free and open to the public thanks to the combined efforts of the Stolberg and the Kalamazoo Bach Festival. You can find information on the concert at both stolberg.org or kalamazoobachfestival.org. Here's Jaap ter Linden and the opening to the E-flat major cello suite. We're listening to music of Bach played by Baroque cellist Jaap ter Linden because my guest Richard Narroway is bringing his cello to the First Congregational Church of Kalamazoo to present a concert tomorrow night that is free and open to the public, and he'll play the suites numbers 1, numbers 4, and number 6 at 7:30 p.m. We'll also hear interludes by Australian composers, 3 special pieces, and we just have a few minutes left in this hour. Please tell me about the other composers besides Peter Sculthorpe, whom we've already talked about.
Well, the idea behind including these Australian composers was to have a piece between each cello suite that kind of cleanses the palate for the listeners and also echoes certain fragments from within each suite. And that could be as specific as an opening motif from a Bure, or it could be more broader and general and just an attempt to evoke a similar kind of mood. And so I have four young composers in Australia whom I have commissioned to write a short 2 to 3 minute pieces. And that's pretty much what I told them that I want them to do. Just a short piece that kind of echoes the previous suite. And it's cool because it's kind of going to be putting a spotlight on these young upcoming composers in Australia. And as well as that, I don't think anything like that's been done. And if you've been to a recital of the complete suites, it's a lot of the same kind of music. You know, it's six suites, it's about 3 hours of music, and that can be very exhausting to listen to, let alone to perform. So I think having Australian pieces, especially since I'm going to be bringing these pieces to Australia, my home country, I think having these interludes is a great great way to mix it up and also show a kind of contrast and juxtaposition of the old Western style of Bach and the modern contemporary style of Australia.
Now, are you using a term that originated in Australia called walkabout to talk about this tour?
Well, when I was first putting the plans together for this tour, that was a term that kind of got me going and got me thinking, because the walkabout basically signifies a long duration of time for which indigenous people in Australia will venture into the wilderness and try to learn about themselves and the landscapes around them. And so this inspired me to go to Australia and try and get closer to these suites in a spiritual way that's similar to the idea of the walkabout. And because of that, I tried to combine the terms and I came up with something like barkabout. And and I thought that was a little bit too cheesy, so I didn't stick with it. And now the project is entitled Bringing Music to Life, because that's more along the lines of what I want to do with the endeavor.
I think you're going to have an unforgettable time in Australia bringing this music to many different kinds of people.
Yeah.
And you can see a preview here in Kalamazoo from our 2010 gold medalist of the Stolberg International String Competition tomorrow night at 7:30, free and open to the public at First Congregational Church. Richard, thank you so much for spending some time here today.
Thank you.
And Margaret, would you once again tell people where to find this information and anything else we need to say here at the end of the hour?
Yes. Well, you can find information on tomorrow's performance both at the Stolberg website, which is stolberg.org. Or with our partners, the Kalamazoo Bach Festival at kalamazoobachfestival.org. And if I can also remind audiences that in a couple of weeks, we'll also be hosting the 40th annual Stolberg International String Competition. So mark your calendars now, Saturday and Sunday, May 16th and May 17th here.
I spoke with cellist Richard Narroway and Margaret Hamilton, the executive director of the Stolberg International String Competition. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for listening.